2 Peter chapter 1. And in, remember Peter, this is the last, Peter's going to die after this. And in the process, there's great persecution now. So in Peter's day, persecution is on the rise. And it's very, First and Second Peter are written, you guys are in a lot of trouble, so you need to trust God, as you always should. 2 Peter chapter 1, picking up in verse 11. So an entrance, if you do like it says, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. So, A, they should have an acquaintance with truth, and they needed to be reminded about what they're supposed to know and what they're supposed to exercise. So, I put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And so you don't want to sit there and say, well, I know that. Well, if you know that, then you ought to be producing it. If you can't produce it, then you don't know it. You don't know it well enough. It isn't part of your system. It ought to be popping out just like your name. And when it doesn't do that, and you got to hunt for it and fool with it, and think about it, it isn't there yet. And thus, the very end of verse 12, and be established in the present truth, in the light of what they knew and should know. They ought to be exercising the truth in the light, as it would say in Corinthians, in the light of the present time in which they live. And you and I, here we are moving along in history, in the light of the clock and calendar, and we're moving along, and our days are not going to be easier. They're going to be more difficult. So therefore, we need to be reminded of what we're supposed to know and what we should be able to, what we should know in order to handle it. That's what 1 and 2 Peter are about. So now, having said that, in the light of, in the past, looking at the in our movement forward. In the light of the past, we need to remind ourselves, over if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, putting ourselves in remembrance of that which we should know as a believer. And you will notice in Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, if I can, in verse 11, we ought to be understanding something about our past, no matter when it was, whether you're 15 years old or 55 years old. Chapter 2, in verse 11, wherefore remember that being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, in the natural, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. The Jews labeled you as a Gentile. In the flesh, made by hands. And at that time, verse 12, you were without Christ, being aliens, foreigners, from the commonwealth of Israel, the God of Israel, you didn't know him. And strangers from the covenants of promise, had no connection to the covenants of Israel, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ, God's wonderful, wonderful working. You got to remember that you were without hope and without Christ, and that's assuming that's you're saved and you knew now that you have hope and have Christ. That's assuming that. Chapter 4. And picking up, please, in verse 18. Chapter 4 and in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So we want to make sure, in light of the past, I understand where I have come from or where I am. Am I without hope, without Christ? Am I understanding? How much am I understanding? Verse 18. Do I understand the life of God and the God of life? Do I understand any of that? And am I in ignorance? Am I really, if you really quiz me and put me to the test, all by my lonesome, would I pass the test? Would I pass the test? And you know from 2 Corinthians, examine yourself to see if Christ be in you. If you can't pass the test, that's what you want to do. That's what God's going to say. Where's the Lord Jesus Christ? And you either pass the test or you don't. He's either in or out. That's all. And so now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we want to understand the past. And thus, Ephesians 1. So we ought to understand we were without hope and without Christ. So we want to be appreciative of what we have. Ephesians 1, picking up, please, in the light of the past, verse 6. To the Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of his grace, verse 6, wherein he hath made us accepted, the word accepted, highly favored in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now God has done something very wonderful for us. He went and died. He died for all of us, all human beings, everyone that's out of Adam, thus everyone that is a human being. Christ died for them. And in the process, he paid the penalty. The penalty, the wages of sin, is death. He died for every single human being in Adam. Every single one of them. From Adam, Eve, all the way to the end of the millennium. He died for every single human being, which he had to do. There was no partial way to do it. And he did that. He died. And when he died, he paid the price, the penalty for sin. And God went and paid the penalty so that we are able to be pardoned or forgiven. And thus the penalty is paid. That penalty is all done. And God is working, exercising your relationship to him and his relationship to you based on the cross, on his son. Here we are sitting here. But God's dealing with us on the basis of what his son has done way back here. He died. Otherwise, he wouldn't deal with us at all. Now, over to Colossians chapter 3. And just to add to that, Colossians chapter 3. We're to have understanding that we were without hope and without God. And we need to have a special, unique relationship to God. And in Colossians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 12. We're buried with him, Christ's death, we just mentioned it, buried with him in baptism, identified with him, baptism. We are in also, you are risen with him. Christ died, took us to the cross, buried, and he rose again. We were with him all the way. Through, if you died with him, then he made it the other possible. He died for you. He took you to the grave and rose again. He can now turn around and say to whosoever, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He can offer you eternal life. He can offer you righteousness, which you don't have. And so everyone now, he died for all. The gospel is the good news for everybody. Everybody gets the good news. Now what are we going to do with the good news, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we going to do with him? He is able to justify us and declare us righteous. And that's what we're looking for. And God deals with us based on that. And we shared that last night in the board meeting and all that stuff. And you want to remember now, the problem with the day, or any day, on the gospel is that Jesus Christ loves us. Jesus Christ died. It was a wonderful thing. I'd rather love Jesus than Mohammed or Buddha. And we look out there and we make our choices mentally, and we accept or reject whatever. And we receive Christ. Now, depending on what you mean when you say that, you understand that you died. Christ took you to the cross. The reason he went there is you, to take you to die. If you don't understand that, and you just, Jesus is a lovely person, and we're going to honor him as opposed to somebody else, that's not the gospel. And you'll never enjoy the gospel. How can you enjoy the gospel? Christ took you, and when he looks at you, he sees you on that cross in Christ. And that's how God always will deal with you. Anytime. That's why you are forgiven. He doesn't deal with you based on where we are now. He's based on where you are in Christ. And if you're believing and resting on him, that is where he's going to deal with you. You are forgiven. And you're righteous. But you understand you died. You died. You had to die. And Christ took you to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but what? Alive unto God in Christ. Reckon yourself dead, dead. That's where you start. If you didn't start there, you aren't going to go anywhere. Because all you're doing is talking about that Jesus is everyone has all their different pet things they believe and like and love from a human standpoint. And that isn't the gospel. The gospel is you personally went to the cross. And that's how God's going to deal with you. And you reckon yourself, I was without hope and without God in the world. But God brought me to the cross, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so God's going to deal with our past in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we are made and declared righteousness. Righteous. How? By faith. By faith. Over, if you would, to Romans. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 17. 1 and 17. And herein is the righteousness of God revealed. Well, where is that? From faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous shall live, how? By faith. We believe that Christ died on the cross for our sin. The foolishness of preaching. We believe that he did that. He said he did that. Now, over in the light of that, chapter 4, Romans, and in verse 5, adding to that thought, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies and declares right the ungodly, that person's faith is counted for righteousness. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he our righteousness. He becomes our righteousness because I choose him. I choose him as my Savior. He's the right one for me. And I choose him. I'm looking to him. And God gives me that righteousness. Not my faith, it's just that. I don't make anything right. He made it right when he died on the cross and rose again. Thus, over to chapter 3. And if I can, chapter 4 better. Chapter 4 and in verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, I believe in the Lord and I receive him as my Savior. And God is going to deal with me by faith. I'm going to trust him. I understand. What relationship do I have? I have it by faith. I was without him, without hope, without help. I had no relationship to God, to Israel, to nobody. And God saved me. God wonderfully died on the cross for me, and I received that as my Savior. And I do so with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. I want to understand my past. I want to exercise a wonderful trusting God by faith in the light of my past. Otherwise, I'm going to go, and I'm not going to learn from yesterday, and I'm going to repeat yesterday all over again. I don't want to repeat yesterday. I learned something. And remember, do not live in the past. People live in the past. Don't live in the past. Don't do that. And don't wrongly continue to carry the past into the future. Don't carry yesterday into tomorrow. Learn from it. Don't carry it. And I want to understand my past. And I want to do it with thanksgiving. So I don't want to go and drag, you know, the statements they made about your past, your nature. And it's called an old nature. The old man, the sinful Adam. I don't want to carry that. Christ died to set me free from that. And God's always going to deal with me based on the person and work of his Son. Always. Never on me. Always on him. And I want to find myself on that cross. I want to find myself in a risen Christ who resides in my heart. You know, we read it last night. You don't have to do all that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? And in the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Where did the righteousness come from? A risen Christ. A crucified Christ took care of the penalty. A risen Christ provides you the rightness. And you want to believe on the Christ who rose again from the grave, and you receive him for newness of life. And when you do that, then you receive the righteousness that God provided you in Christ, in the person of Christ, and you believe in your heart that he rose again from the grave, and that's what you're doing. That's the gospel. It's a wonderful truth. It's a past. So I don't want to carry the past. Romans 7. Romans 7. Romans chapter 7, would you pick up in thought? And I have to tell you, I wish the gospel was more understood. I think most people going to church and in the pulpit don't understand the gospel. No, I don't. You'll never hear it. You don't hear it. Don't hear it, and isn't it practiced. And therefore, there is no enjoyment of being saved. Now, here's Romans chapter 7, and in verse 24. O wretched man, said Paul, in the light of his, looking at his life, he's a saved man, looking at his old man and his new man. O wretched man that I am, verse 24, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Now, and the Spirit of God makes all of that possible, chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit of God puts all of that to work. What's he putting to work? What Jesus Christ did on the cross, he died for me, rose again, and the Spirit of God makes those wonderful, that wonderful work, the wonderful saving grace of God, he makes that for me, for you. Now, I thank God. So we need to thank God in the light of our past. I don't want to carry my past. And if I look at my past, I would have to say, oh, wretched man that I am. All the good and all the bad, apart from Jesus Christ, what have you got? What have you got? You say, well, I used to have a just job and I was able to do this. And all of those things are good, but none of them save you. Not one thing saved you. Not one good thing. You may have got 100 in a test. It doesn't save you. You may be a hero in something. It won't save you. Got a trophy. It won't save you. Not save you at all. Nothing saves you. So when all of that, you had no hope. And looking at it, realistically, you'd have to say, oh, wretched man that I am. I don't want to trust that. Right. Secondly, or if you would please, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. And when it comes to our present moment in time, what do I want to know? God, what do you want about me? I don't want me to get tied up in the past. No, I want to understand it and have faith that I took care of it and be thankful. Ephesians chapter 5, in the light of the present, what do I want to understand? Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, very carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So, God, what do you want? You want us to understand, to stay wide awake and alert, to make sure as we're trying to behave and act and live and walk, and we don't want to be foolish about it all. We want to be sure we're buying up the time. Why? Because the time is disappearing. It isn't going to. If we don't recover something out of it, it's all lost to us. The days are evil. And we want to understand what the will of the Lord is, what God's will is, so that we aren't going and jumping out somewhere and we aren't getting anything. We're spinning our wheels. We're the busyness of a barren life. We're busy out doing, we've got nothing. Nothing at all. Now, or if you would, in your Bible, we ought to understand that right now. That's what we're supposed to be doing, not in the past, exercising a wonderful reality, the reality of the world in which we live. Our world, our body, our home, our work, our school, exercising God's will in that. That's what all of that, verse 14 and on, has to do with. So now, in the light of that, you need to trust God, Philippians, and you need to always have faith in the light of the present moment, and you're looking to God to deal with your heart, and you want to have faith in God, trusting God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You're going to have to believe God. Like I do with my past, I'm going to have to believe God about the present. How am I going to possibly handle this? Philippians in chapter 4. And you'll notice, please, in verse 4, we're going to have to trust God. And to exercise God's will, we want God's will. We want to buy up the time, work, home, school, play, whatever we're doing. And we, verse 4, chapter 4, Philippians, we want to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, where we have to be thankful to God, looking to God, trusting God, because God isn't asking something he isn't going to do. He is going to do it. And when you're in the middle of whatever it is, and you're trusting God, God is doing what he does. Isn't he? Is God being less God when you're aware of it and when you're not? God isn't being less. God's being God. So we're going to trust God. And so I don't go by feeling. I go by anything. I just am trusting God's for God's will. You try to do whatever you have in his assignment, and you try to do it, work, home, school, whatever you're doing, and you do the best you can and trust God in it, and that's what you're doing. And God's there to... There, you trust him. He's going to help you work through it. And you're trusting him. Now, having said that, and we want to do so in verse 6, be careful for nothing. I don't want to worry about anything. And in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving again, always thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to look to God. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to be thankful. You say, what right have you got to be thankful? Because if God is delighted in doing what he's doing, and I'm not delighted in what he's doing, I don't understand what he's doing, and I'm not delighted with what's going on. So I'm stuck with what's going on that I don't like, and I can't fix it because I'm not enjoying God is delighted and where he is and what he's doing. And I need to look to God, who's delighted in what he's doing, and where what he's doing, he's delighted to be who he is, do what he does with all the icky, sticky stuff going on everywhere. So I don't get caught in the icky, sticky stuff. I'm going to look to God so that I can handle the icky, sticky stuff. And either I will or I won't. And then I'm stuck. And I said it was icky, sticky, so you're going to really be stuck. Now, having said that, here's why not look at the rest. Verse 7, if you're going to look to God, you aren't going to worry, and God's going to give you his wonderful peace, peace of God. We're going to look at that in a bit. Over, if you would, please. Verse 9, these things which you have both learned and received and heard of and seen in me and do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And what are we going to do? Well, not only is the peace of God going to be our lot in our possession, but so is the presence of the God of peace. So we're looking, and the God of peace is going to be with us. So it isn't just the peace of God here. The God's here to make it all happen. And thus, wonderfully so, over to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm able to handle whatever, however, in the light of God's wonderful power, presence, and God's going to do it. So I can't do it, but God in you, I can trust you and work through whatever it is. I can work through it, do the best I can, and God, you make up the difference. And that's what we're going to do. So we work through it one thing at a time, and God gives his personal presence and his power. And to boot, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so that everything that I need, God is going to have to provide that. And God said he would supply it and provide it. And so I have God's presence, power. I have his provision. And I'm able to look to God. You're able to look to God. Trust God with all your heart. And therefore, looking to God, trusting God, what do you want to do? Well, you want to go and make sure that you're learning rightly. You're putting all this together so that you practice your past, practice my present, looking to God practically. Know these things. You should all. I put you in remembrance because you're supposed to know all this stuff. And I want you to do it. In the light of the present day, you better do it or you won't succeed. Thus, having said that, truth doesn't worry about error, does it? Does truth worry about error? You thinking about it? Why doesn't truth ever worry about error? Because it's true. True is true. Does light ever worry about darkness? There's light. The light's on. Assuming the power company stays and the bulb stays. No matter, we could be up in the North Pole or something where it stays dark somewhere up there for a long time. And no matter how long it would be, the darkness, no matter how dark the night, the light is never threatened by the darkness. So all the darkness in forever doesn't affect light at all. Truth is never infected by error. Ever. So we're going to look to God with thanksgiving. And thus over 1 Thessalonians. You would know. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and if I may, verse 18. In everything, give thanks in everything. Why? Because this is the will of God, and you wanted the will of God, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and you're smart enough to know you need. God has to work it out. I don't know how to work out the next 10 hours of my life. God does. I can live through them, but I don't know how to work them out. I have to trust God as I go through them, if I go through them. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So again, in the past I have to give thanks, oh wretched man that I am. And in the present moment, I'm always going to give thanks in everything. In everything, because I'm trusting God for the outworking of his good will in his good way, by way of his good word. Now, in the light of that, over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. And here we are in looking ahead to the future. Here we are, we have a future, it's unknown how it is going to go, but we have the future there. And God, what can we expect in the future? Well, God said, you better make sure you're well dressed, because the future doesn't hold wonderful little island in somewhere and everything's wonderful. God never told you that. Never even told the church that. He told them, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. He never told you it was going to be that. He said, I tell you these things, remember John 16:1. I tell you them because it's going to be, you aren't thinking right. You're thinking everything was going to come out nice. It isn't. I didn't come to send peace, but a what? A sword. I didn't come to send peace to homes. I sent a sword to take whosoever's out of the system. I'm not saving the system. I condemned the system when I died. I came to save the whosoever that would believe out of the system. And that's what I came to do. So, and I'm not here to play little games with them. I'm here to save you. If you'll understand. Make sure you leave the past with God. And in the light of the present and the light of the future, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the very trickery of the devil, craftiness of the devil, the system, the world system in which we are in. And because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the riches of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the battle we have. Remember, we're caught in Ephesians, if you look. Here's the Ephesians, and we were children of the world. We're caught up in the course, the way the whole world system works. We were caught in that without hope and without Christ, without life. Now, so here, chapter 6, and if I can, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So we have to stand up. We have to stand up. We have to withstand. We're going to get attacked. By that I mean mentally, spiritually. The devil doesn't want, what's the one thing the devil doesn't want anyone to do? Is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to church, you can sing in the choir, you can memorize the Bible. Just don't believe. Just don't believe. Don't let it become real. As long as you keep it a make-believe, a religious activity, good for you. We'll even make you a bishop or a cardinal. Good for you. Good for you. As long as you don't believe. As long as you don't believe. See, going to church, I go to church, I sing in the choir. Good for you. But that, as long as you don't believe. As long as you don't believe. See, now. So, you want to stand? Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So therefore, you have to be well dressed, because the enemy is crafty. The enemy is not like flesh and blood. You can't hit it with an axe or a knife, or you can't hit it with your fist. You can't touch it. The enemy. So we can't handle the enemy that way. The enemy's another realm, another way. And therefore, we need to have the whole armor of God. Otherwise, we're going to get clipped in the days ahead, because that's the whole point, is to make you non-functional. You can function any way you want. You can be the head of the church and a great expositor, a great writer, as long as you don't believe. Just don't believe. Because believing locks you into a relationship. And the relationship will show itself. And fix your behavior. So we don't want to believe because it changes my behavior. So we don't believe. Because I don't want to change. So we don't believe. And when you don't believe, the devil's happy. So now, having said that, so here we are looking into the future with understanding over to Philippians. And chapter 3, you know it, Philippians 3. And picking up, please, going directly, if I can, to verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to lay hold of something, to possess it, to have it. But this one thing I do, doing what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So this, I'm looking into the future. I'm moving into the future. In fact, 5 minutes from now, you will be in the future. Will you not? 5 minutes from now, you will be in the future. It isn't here yet. But if we wait 5 minutes or less, you will now be 5 minutes into the future. Ready or not? Ready or not? Wow. So now, in the light of that, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. Verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us, we just read. So we're looking to God to move forward. That's right. That's right. But we can't take the past. We don't want to live in the past. Forget that. We don't want to carry the past forward. Forget that procedure. We don't want to do that in a wrong way. We don't want to do that. And we want to be able to do it. We want to be able to do it with thanksgiving, looking to God by faith. By faith, looking to God. God's going to outwork his wonderful workmanship over in Ephesians. If I just look there, you're right here. Ephesians chapter 2. And what is God going to be doing? If I'm looking to God in light of the future, Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And God, you have before the world ever was, before I was ever created, you died on the cross and made it possible for me to possess a unique, wonderful relationship to you. And you have a wonderful plan and purpose for each hour day as I go through it, and you're going to outwork that in your wonderful way. And so I'm looking to you, God, to outwork that in the light of my future, in the light of I need to be dressed, the armor of God. I'm going to get clipped if I don't be careful, and I'm going to have to go by faith, trusting you, God, that you're there ahead of me. And I want to do it with thanksgiving in my heart in the future. I'm looking, and thanks be unto God, you know, turn there, you aren't far away. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, just open there. 1 Corinthians 15, in the light of the resurrection, truth of the resurrection. And what are we supposed to know, practically? This isn't just for funerals, you know. You're supposed to have this, you read this at a funeral. And it's all right then. It's, why not? But, hey, we aren't talking about funerals. We're talking about the living. The dead don't read this anymore. It's all over for them. All over. Wow. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you're looking to God with thanksgiving and moving forward, forgetting those things which are behind, rightly so, with thanksgiving in your heart. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. And again, God, we're to going forward, and we to know it, so we don't have to sit there and sweat and worry and fret and frown and everything else about what's going to happen. Work, home, school, play, health, wealth, marriage, and everything else. No, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, very public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. And we're trusting God, and the world's going to know that there's something different about you for the hope that is within you. You're going to say, well, listen, I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered me from my past, has forgiven me all my sin, and as I sin, God is able to continue to deal with me as I walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ does what? It cleanses me from all sin because God is counting on that. And so here I am looking to God. I'm not sitting there with some, I feel super spiritual today. No, I'm trusting God by faith and honoring what he's done and who he is. And that's all he wants of me. I don't help him be God. I let him be God. I let him do what he's done and make it work. God help us. And therefore, people are going to be full of thanksgiving, and you're going to go forward. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. So in the light of the past, in the light of the present, in the light of the future, and what's left. Over, if you would, to Ephesians, and in chapter 2, if I can. God, here we are, past, present, future, exercising our wonderful life in time. And so here we are in the middle of time. But when you know the Lord as your Savior, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God took you and did something wonderful. He left you in time, and yet you are wonderfully in eternity. And in your heart, if you're truly saved, you are timeless. You have no clock and no calendar. You have eternal life. There's no time to it. There's no end to it. There's no disease, no termination, nothing. And thus, God, here we are, always living, God, always, always in your time, in timelessness, timelessness. I have no time. And God, I want to understand that. Past, present, future, And God, here I am, exercising all of that sequence every day, every minute. It's all happening all the time, past, present, future, all day long it happens and is outworking itself. Now, in the process of that, God, Ephesians 2, I am to be reminded of my unique eternal relationship to you again. And verse 2 and 6, you know, and we're saved by grace. Verse 6, chapter 2, Ephesians, and hath raised us up together to made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What for? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, that we would have in his grace, to exhibit his grace, here we are seated with him as part of his wonderful body as we shared on Sunday, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Wow, unique. And so whatever happens to your bone and flesh, are you concerned? Whatever happens to you, you know, get a knife through you with that, you pull it back? Sure you would. God said, that's my body. So I want you to live like that. I care about my body like you care about your physical body. I care about your relationship to me, and I bought your body, by the way, with a price. So God, here we are, and we're seated in heaven. We have a wonderful, eternal, timeless relationship to you. We have all the blessings in Christ in heavenly places. We have them all wonderfully so. God, here we are looking to you, and we're looking to you with thanksgiving. God, that's how we're going to have to proceed. I never said it. Never told you. It would be easy. That's why a lot of people never get saved, because it means I have to change. That's right. You do have to change. You do have to change. Well, I don't want to change. Well, that I'll sit and listen, but I'll never change. Well, then you'll never get there. You got to change. I want to change. I like my way of thinking academically in every way. I like my routine. Well, that's what you chose. And when you choose that, then God have to make up. God will have to decide whether you're in or out. I don't know. But over, if you would, in closing, over to Psalm 14. In closing, Psalm 14. And in Psalm 14, God is telling you, don't make sure you handle it right. Otherwise, you're going to be caught up with verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That doesn't mean there is no God. It means that practically for them, there is no God. And thus, sliding down to verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. And so we get caught up. Persons, places, things, personalities. We want to be part of something. We want to be connected. We want to be loved, wanted, needed. All these things so that we feel we are missing out on life. And we have all that. And when we do that, we get caught up in the system. And what happened to the wonderful thing that God rescued you from all of that so that you could enjoy not the creature, but could enjoy the Creator and not have the benefits of humanity, which is next to nothing, but have the benefits of God, the Creator. So now, and you know, without turning there in Numbers 14 and all of that, Caleb and Joshua will say to the people of Israel, they didn't listen to them. We're nobody. We're nobody compared to the Philistines and the Jebusites and the chariots of iron, the giants of Anak like Goliath, the giants of our land, we couldn't touch them. But you know, our God is before us, behind us, to the left and to the right. And he tells us and looks for us to go forward. And they who see us as grasshoppers,
they will become food for us. Food for us. We will use their power and their tenacity and their opposition and their everything that they are. I'm going to eat that up and it becomes energy for me. All of that which is negative, I'm going to eat and make it positive before God. And so like our Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the cross, he counted it all, oh no. What did he do? Hebrews 12:2. He counted it all joy, and he used it to step, boom, boom. And that's what you do. Past, present, future, with understanding, by faith, with thanksgiving, looking to God. That's the only way you're going to go. Now, if you don't go that way, you're looking for your work, your health, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief. You're looking for everything. Somehow the system's going to be nice. It isn't going to be nice. So face up to that. So either I'm going to be able to survive this properly as a believer. Otherwise, I'm caught in the flow. The river goes and I'm caught. I'm not able to fight. I just, whatever's going on, I'm going to go with. And in some sense, that's true. But in another sense, it isn't true. So anyway, you got the idea? So perhaps your particular request as we go to prayer and looking to God to help us.